I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Dr. Robert Esslinger is my first guest tonight. He has been in clinical practice for 27 years and is certified in family practice, osteopathic manipulation, and homeopathy. He also holds certifications in insulin potential therapy. Before concentrating on alternative medicine, he developed a broad focus in traditional medicine. He currently combines these and offers a wide range of treatments for cancer patients, including nutritional guidance, German new medicine, vitamin mineral infusions, immune enhancement therapy, chelation therapy, homeopathy, oxidation therapy, and others to supplement traditional treatment. More information is available at www.renalintegrative.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Bob, and I am happy to have the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, thank you.
Tell me about the integrative services you offer at the Renal Integrative Medical Center.
Well, first of all, the big advantage of being here in Nevada is we have licensing for what's called homeopathic medicine, which in Nevada covers all of alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the requirements to have this licensing is you have to be an MD or a DO, be licensed to practice medicine, and then you have to take 600 hours minimum in alternative medicine and pass the homeopathic boards. And when you do, you come under the legal jurisdiction of the Homeopathic Medical Board, which covers all of alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what allows us the freedom to be able to do these therapies we're going to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three states in the country where this is allowed, and that is Nevada, Arizona, and Connecticut.
Oh.
Now, fortunately, last November, I got appointed by the governor to sit on the Homeopathic Medical Board for the state of Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps us keep our finger on the pulse, so to speak. We periodically come under attack from the medical board to try to shut us down.
Right.
But
right.
Fortunately, we've been able to keep ourselves open, keep this field licensed in Nevada, and we move on into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to answer your first question, tell me about the integrative services. Let me just back up a little bit by way of explanation of physiology. A large number of the therapies that we use for cancer. Now, we do not only treat cancer. We treat all chronic degenerative diseases, but the majority of the work we do is in alternative medicine cancer treatment, and this is based on the work largely by Dr. Douglas Brody, who started this practice and ran it for 30 years. He was an MD internal medicine specialist, and he was instrumental in getting the initial licensing for homeopathic medicine back in the 1980s in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And this work is based largely on the research done by a physician, MD, PhD, Otto Warburg, in Germany back in the 1920s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically what I'm referring to is in 1931, Otto Warburg received the Nobel Prize in medicine for proving that all cancer cells, no matter where they're located in the body, use what's called anaerobic metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
That means they burn sugar without using oxygen. Now, what's crucial to understand about this fact, and let me say, you can't get any more conventional than getting a Nobel Prize.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give
right.
it for alternative medicine.
Right.
So it was recognized by the, quote, establishment, unquote, that this is true, and then it was promptly put on the shelf and ignored for the last 70-some years.
Mm-hmm.
But what we use is therapies based on what we see as weaknesses in this anaerobic metabolism, because it is far less efficient at producing a given amount of energy out of a given amount of sugar if it doesn't use oxygen. So what that means in practical terms is these cancer cells require a much higher intake of sugar to maintain their energy than our normal selves do.
Mm-hmm.
So the three main branches of therapies that we use against cancer, and there are others as well, but these are the three main ones. The first one is called oxidative therapies,
mm-hmm.
because oxidation, of course, is the chemical reaction that our normal cells burn sugar with to get the maximum amount of energy. Well, what this means is cancer cells do not like oxidation at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's very toxic to them. And so we use a number of possible ingredients to create a more oxidative situation in the environment of the cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredients that we use are at different times for different reasons. We use ozone gas, which is a form of oxygen. We use hydrogen peroxide liquid. And we use a compound called MMF, which is actually sodium chlorite. Now, bleach is sodium hypochlorite,
mm-hmm.
but sodium chlorite is a chemical compound that can be combined with apple juice and consumed orally to create oxidation in the body. So that's the first category, is oxidative therapies. The second, because of this anaerobic metabolism, there's two big waste products that come out of these cancer cells in much higher amounts than normal cells.
Mm-hmm.
And they are lactic acid and carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And carbon dioxide in a liquid, which it would be our blood, creates carbonic acid. So what we see is pretty close to 100% of the cancer patients we encounter are very acidic. And so what we do, the second branch of these therapies, is called alkalinization or pH modulation therapies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And these are therapies designed to create more alkaline environment because, again, the same as the oxidative therapies, cancer cells do not like an alkaline environment. Now, some people have heard cancer loves acid. Well,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't love acid. It creates a lot of acid, and that's the environment it's most comfortable in.
Mm-hmm.
So as we create a more alkaline environment in people, the cancer becomes less and less happy, less and less efficient at doing what it does. That's the second branch. And for that, we use cesium, intravenous and oral, and we use sodium bicarbonate, which, of course, is baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
We use medical-grade baking soda, IV, and we also use it orally. Both of these are designed to create the more alkaline environment I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now we use other things like green drinks, barley greens, things like that. And also, I have all my patients taking hot baking soda baths.
Mm-hmm.
I have them put a cup of baking soda in a hot tub of water and soak for 20 minutes twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the most common question that comes out of that is, what about hot tubs? And I don't like hot tubs because I feel like you sit in sweat soup.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they have filters and ozonators and everything, but there are different metabolic waste products that
mm-hmm.
are put out by the body that do not get filtered out.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, that's the second branch of the three-pronged attack on cancer cells that we use. The third branch is called IPT. IPT stands for insulin potentiated therapy. And what this is what was developed back in the 1920s in Mexico, and it's based on the fact that in conventional research, they have proven that cancer cells of all types have between 6 and 10 times the number of insulin receptors on their cell membranes.
Uh-huh.
Now, this makes sense if you remember what we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
about this anaerobic metabolism. Insulin, of course, is a hormone that enhances or it helps the transport of sugar
uh-huh.
across the cell membrane from the blood into the cells. That's how it drops the blood sugar in diabetics. So what we do is utilize this principle, and we give a dose of insulin, and it's standard pharmaceutical-grade insulin that diabetics use, and we drop the blood sugar. We drop the blood sugar from a low normal of 65. Our target is in the mid-30s. Now, if you look on the Internet, you look up IPT, you find 50% of these sites that talk about IPT, they say, oh, it's really dangerous to lower your blood sugar. And we say, oh, really? Dangerous compared to what? Chemotherapy? And it's dangerous to cross the street if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
But if you're trained, you know what to watch for, you know how to react, this is a very safe therapy. In fact, we've done over 5,000 IPT treatments in the last 4 years, and we have not had one single problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said, what we do is drop the blood sugar into the mid-30s, and we watch it very closely. And then at that point, the cancer cells, because of their greater need for sugar, they literally start starving. And so they do what's called open up their cell membranes to try to get as much sugar, any sugar molecules coming through the blood, they try to snag it. And so at that point, when the sugar's in, the blood sugar's in the mid-30s, we give a dose of intravenous sugar. But the difference is, in that same syringe is mixed four different ingredients. One is B17, or Laetril.
Mm-hmm.
The second is mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
The third is cesium. And the fourth is DMSO.
Mm-hmm.
DMSO is a solvent that's totally safe to use intravenously. Dr. Brody used it for over 30 years. And it is what's called a vehicle. It will enhance the absorption across the cell membrane of anything that's mixed with it. And so the active ingredients are the cesium, mistletoe extract, which we get out of Germany,
mm-hmm.
and Laetril. And those three ingredients then get delivered and absorbed into the cancer cells in much higher concentrations than in the normal cells. And then more sugar is given and the sugar is brought back up to normal ranges because the brain requires sugar as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the IPT part of the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three main prongs of mm-hmm. the treatment for cancer. But we came upon a formula of homeopathic remedies that I received. I went down 2 years ago down to El Salvador to investigate a program we had heard about alternative medicine treating cancer. And it turns out down there, in one of their hospitals, they have a whole wing treating cancer with alternative medicine. And it's with this formula of homeopathics that were brought to Argentina by German physicians at the end of World War II. And what we have found is that using this formula, when we give it IV, we see a big rise in the T cell count.
Mm-hmm.
Now, T cells are T lymphocytes. They're called T cells because they're made in the thymus gland, which is right behind the breastbone. And usually, as we get older, it starts to shrink. Well, this IV formula stimulates the thymus to start putting out more T cells. So we use that IV as well to stimulate the T-cell count, not only in cancer, but also in situations such as hepatitis C
mm-hmm.
or any challenge to the immune system, usually infectious challenge. So we use that. Now, the other types of things we utilize, we have always, since Dr. Brody had a long history of using chelation therapy,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for eliminating heavy metals out of the system. And what's interesting about chelation is the use of chelation for heavy metals is not controversial. Since the 1920s, the AMA has recommended using chelation to remove heavy metals
mm-hmm.
that have been found
mm-hmm.
too high a dose in the human body. The controversial aspects of chelation have to do with heart and brain circulation, and those are areas that the last word is not in yet, but many physicians providing this therapy have many stories about improvements, say, in the circulation in the limbs of diabetic people that are about to have amputations, and they literally pull them back from the brink, and they don't need the surgery, and they end up being able to walk again
mm-hmm.
through the use of chelation therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We also do high-dose vitamin C therapy. We utilize between 50 and 100 grams, that's 50 to 100,000 milligrams of vitamin C, depending on what the situation is, what we're trying to address. Because, of course, vitamin C is, at certain levels, is virucidal in and of itself, and also really stimulates the immune system. Now, we also give Laetril, or B17, in a straight IV setting. I mentioned it in the use of, in the context of an IPT treatment. But we only do IPT treatments twice a week because it is stressful to the body to lower that blood sugar like I described. So we have our cancer patients get B17 every day in their immune-boosting formulas, which actually were designed by Dr. Brody, and they're combinations of vitamins and minerals that we give IV every day during a three-week period that we lovingly call boot camp. That we have patients come for 5 days a week for 3 weeks in a row, and every day, Monday through Friday, they get these formulas and these therapies that I was just describing to you. Now, another therapy that we've added probably in the last 3 months, we're using modern technology in that both Dr. Holt and myself have acquired a machine that is called a MEAD machine, M-E-A-D. And it stands for Meridian Energy Analysis Device. And what this does is, with a simple saline-soaked pad, evaluates all the acupuncture meridians, and it's run through a computer. So we do this testing on people's hands and feet, and we get a printout from the computer telling us the energy levels in all of their acupuncture meridians. And then what we do is we use electrical stimulators, or what can also be called a TENS unit. We can look up when you have high energy in an acupuncture meridian. There's specific points you treat to do what's called bleed off the excess energy, or the excess chi. And if there's too low energy, there are other points you stimulate to pump energy into the body. And so we figure out which of those points need to be stimulated. Then we stimulate them with an electrostimulator. So we do acupuncture without the needles. A lot of people appreciate that because they don't particularly care for the idea of being poked through with a bunch of needles. And so we provide that therapy as well. And then over a period of time, after having some treatments, you periodically reanalyze with this MEAD machine, and you can see these acupuncture meridians coming into balance. So we have that, and the last thing I'll mention is radio frequencies. We use certain radio frequencies, some of them such as a what's called a shortwave diathermy machine, which was designed by Nikola Tesla over 100 years ago, and it's been used in physical therapy for 100 years, and what it does is use radio waves to create heat deep down in the tissues. And so there's certain ways we can utilize that, those radio frequencies along with specific nutrients to create a, and I say nutrients to the human body, but nutrients that block the action of certain metabolic reactions in cancer cells, and then stimulate them with radio waves to get them to burn up all their fuel inside the cell at the same time that you're blocking the intake of new fuel. And when a cell burns up its fuel and can't get any more in, they die immediately. And so we do therapies along that line as well. So that, I know that covers a lot of ground there, but we're doing a lot of things. It's, I tell my patients I'm more excited today about medicine than when I graduated from medical school in 1977.
Well, I think there's a lot more happening today.
Yes. And we didn't have anything even close to the Internet then.
Well, I think it's interesting you said that a lot of what you do is controversial, but yet some of these things have been around for a long time, used for other things, and I don't remember them being controversial, like insulin. When I was a student in a psychiatric hospital, we used insulin therapy for the mentally ill.
Well, you know what's an interesting story about that? And conventional medicine calls it anecdotal, and so they immediately throw it out the window. But when I was learning about IPT, I learned about how when insulin was first discovered back in the 1920s, they tried to treat depression with what was called insulin shock therapy. And they would give a high dose of insulin, drop the blood sugar all the way to zero. When, if that happens, you pass out. Because like I said, the brain requires sugar. And the person would pass out, and that is potentially dangerous. And then they would give them a dose of sugar and wake them back up again. Well, they found it wasn't very effective for depression, but there were quite a few anecdotal stories of depressed people who happened to have cancer, and just from dropping that blood sugar all the way to zero and bringing it back up again, the tumors started to shrink. But the amazing thing to me is that not one single physician said, you know, that might be important. Maybe we should research that. And they just kind of left it in their records and never pursued it.
Now, the mistletoe, one of my friends in Germany has been sending me mistletoe, and I use it for allergies.
Oh, wow.
I've been using it, I guess, for maybe 4 or 5 years.
Huh.
And they use it all the time in Germany for different
things. Well, I have heard that it's used fairly frequently in standard chemotherapy protocols in Europe. But it seems like in this country we as conventional medicine, I should say,
right,
not including me, but the conventional medical establishment has a distaste for anything, quote, natural.
Right.
And it seems like they think less of something if it's not produced chemically in a lab.
Right.
And it's unfortunate because before 100 years ago, all we had was pharmaceuticals made from herbs and different plants and minerals.
Right.
And it was the advent of pharmaceutical medicine, chemical, synthetic pharmaceutical medicine, that started leading us down the path that we're on right now.
Right. Now, the other thing that you mentioned is the acid alkaline.
Yes.
And Casey talked about the alkaline base.
Yes.
Alkaline producing foods and all back in the 40s. And also, Andrew Weil is now talking about the anti-inflammatory diet, which is not too different from the Casey alkaline producing diet.
That's very interesting.
Right. It may take a while, but some of these things are going to come around.
I feel like it has to. And I think what's happening already is pharmaceutical medication is going to literally price itself out of existence.
Right.
Because there are some new drugs that are being utilized to treat cancer, and they sing the praises of this medication. And, oh, by the way, it's $3,500 a dose.
Right.
And, of course, insurance companies are balking at paying those kinds of things, and people can't afford them on their own. And so I don't see them ever being very widely utilized.
No. Well, the other thing besides the cost is that the consumers are more knowledgeable now.
Yes.
And they're not always willing to put themselves through some of the traditional things that are so devastating to the body.
Yes. And one of the things that's totally mind-boggling to me is I have many patients that have come in here and told me that after they have been through the full conventional treatment, chemo, radiation, surgery, whatever the combination was they needed, they arrive at the end of the therapy, they're no better, and the doctor looks at them and says, you need to go home and get your affairs in order.
Right.
You have 2 months left to live or whatever
it
is.
Which actually, I think
that's borderline criminal to do that anyway.
Right.
But they tell them to go home and die, essentially. And then the person says, well, I think I'll check out alternative medicine. And they go, oh, don't do that.
Right.
Which is laughable.
Well, there's no quality of life either when they get finished. You know, I mean, if they are going to die, I'd rather die with some quality in my life than to be so debilitated. I had a good friend who visited me. Well, he called me one day first and told me he'd been diagnosed with stage 3 melanoma. And I said, and he said, the doctor told me I'm dying. I said, the doctor cannot tell you that. That's not a medical diagnosis.
Exactly.
That's a God diagnosis. Now, I said, if you believe what your doctor tells you, you will die.
Yes.
And you do what he says, you will die. But I said, there are alternatives, and if you would like to talk about them, I said, I would be happy to, you know, do what I can to point you in a direction where you can have other opportunities and make your own decision. Well, he's selected to do what the doctor wanted, and it was about 2 months later, he came to my house to visit, and I live in a three-story house, and he could hardly get up the stairs.
Oh, my God.
And he died shortly after that. And I said to him, why would you put yourself through this? If they told you you were going to die, and you believed it, and you wanted to die, then don't put yourself through something like this.
Exactly.
But I guess we all make our own decisions and do what we think is best for us.
We have had cases of patients that have come here and they said, oh, my doctor told me I had 3 months left to live. And we start doing the therapies we do and they're improving. And the tumor's shrinking by all criteria. They're getting better. And 3 months comes and they die. Because that idea was implanted in their
right,
head.
Right, right.
That's why I say I think it's criminal for a physician to do that to someone.
Right, right.
Because that in no way points them in a healing direction. It actually harms them.
Mm-mm. I'm especially interested in talking with you about Laetril because 33 years ago I was told I had 6 months.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do chemotherapy and surgery, and I said, well, if I'm going to die anyhow, why would I put myself through this? But I choose not to die.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my attitude. It's always, I choose not to do this. And
well,
so a dear friend pointed me in the direction of a physician in Northern Virginia who had worked with the National Institute of Health and had so much success with Laetril that when they were told they had to close down, he continued doing it. But I had to sign forms that I would not report him.
Right.
And so I went, and he confirmed that I had lung cancer. He told me where I could get Laetril, how much I should take, what type of diet I should go on, what supplements I should take, and so forth. And that was 33 years ago.
Wow.
So I would like to hear more, and I'd like the listeners to hear more about Laetril specifically, since I'm a living 33-year survivor.
Yeah. Well, what I always say to my patients is the proof is in the pudding. I don't care how much research has been done. If I try something on a patient and it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Right, right.
And if I try something that hasn't been proven, such as Laetril, even though in some ways it has been proven, then it works. I don't care what the establishment says.
Right.
And getting back to specifically the mechanism with Laetril is it has a cyanide molecule in its molecular structure. And it is known that cancer cells have an enzyme inside the cell that normal cells don't have. And that enzyme is called catalase. And catalase is capable of cleaving the bond or breaking off the cyanide molecule from the surrounding parts of the larger molecule of Laetril. And when that happens, the cyanide becomes deadly. Now, I consider it to be a gift from God because it only cleaves off inside cancer cells. How perfect. And that is what is leads to the success of Laetril treating cancer. Other than having that enzyme present, the catalase enzyme, it's totally safe. And so it doesn't harm normal cells. Now, I wish I could sit here and say every single time I used Laetril on a patient, it worked, but I can't. It doesn't always work. So it's not the final word either. But I feel that it's part of a package of therapy that include immune boosting and strengthening the whole person. And then one of the questions we discussed or had on in the beginning was about the spiritual mental aspect.
Right.
When a patient comes here for that boot camp, they get a binder. The first chapter in that binder is called Mental Exercises. And I give them assignments to work on. Specifically, an example would be when you get up in the morning, most people, first place they go is the bathroom. Most bathrooms have a mirror. And you stand there, look yourself in the eye, and you say something. This is not the only way to do it, but it's an example. You look yourself in the eye and you say, I see the picture of perfect, radiant health. And even if you feel not so good that day, what you do is what would I feel like if I was the picture of perfect radiant health? Because essentially what you're doing is you're sending a message to your subconscious mind. And if you can be clear enough and persistent enough, your subconscious mind will do exactly what you tell it to do.
Right.
That's how hypnosis works. That's how actually most mental conditioning works, is because that subconscious mind is very powerful, but I always picture it as I have horses. It's kind of like a horse. Extremely powerful, but it's very subject to direction by a higher mind. So you can learn to use your subconscious mind to heal, or you can sit and do what I call cry in your soup and talk about how you're dying and you're going downhill, and you will. Now, it's not as simple as just look yourself in the eye one time and say you're healed and you're going to be healed. I wish it was that easy. But it takes persistence and practice, just like learning to play a musical instrument. You learn to use your mind as a tool for healing. We highly encourage people to explore whatever spiritual discipline that they feel drawn to, because these mental and spiritual avenues are totally ignored by conventional medicine, and they are extremely powerful tools when used in conjunction with other things.
Now, is diet a part of this? I know my diet was very restricted when I took Laetril.
Well, one of the things that I have a lot to say about is that far too frequently than I would like, patients come to me, and once they're diagnosed with cancer, and they are told that they have to become vegetarian.
Oh.
And this is absolutely, utterly untrue. In fact, I had many discussions with Dr. Brody. I worked with him for about 2 years before he died. And he died in 2005, November, and we talked a lot about this because we see it so often, and he said in his 30 years in practice, the most frequent malnutrition he saw was malnutrition of protein, and the most frequent reason was people being told they need to be vegetarian.
Right.
So I tell my patients, if you look at the teeth of any animal on the planet, they will tell you what that animal's supposed to eat. And like it or not, we have the teeth of what's called an omnivore. That means we have to eat a little bit of everything. Now, the problem with the SAD diet, S-A-D, which I call the standard American diet, is the SAD diet. It's too much animal protein, too much of the wrong kinds of fat, and too much sugar or carbohydrates.
Right, right.
And so I tell people to eat a piece of animal protein, chicken, fish, beef, and now they're finding that grass-fed organic beef is just as healthy to eat as fish. Now, of course, there's the toxin problem in the fish.
Right.
But it's still easily digested and absorbed protein. And we find that, yes, we recommend organic grass-fed animals. But even if you can't, people need the protein, because our immune systems, all of the components of our immune system that have to do with chemical compounds made by our body are made up of proteins. In order to make those proteins, you have to have adequate protein in your diet. And so, without question, we have to have animal protein in our diet. And one of the arguments I've heard recently is, well, we have the digestion of a vegetarian. No, we don't. We have the digestion of an omnivore. The vegetarian-minded people say, but animal protein that sits in the digestive tract rots and causes problems. And I agree with that. But the solution is fix the digestion, not what you're eating. You need to eat properly and eliminate properly, and you won't have that problem. And so we talk about a higher protein, lower carbohydrate diet. Because, of course, those carbohydrates get turned into sugar. Sugar absolutely feeds tumors. Sugar does not cause cancer. But if you have a tumor growing and you eat highly concentrated sources of sugar, you will grow that tumor faster than someone who doesn't
eat
that.
And
so it's really important to limit the carbohydrates. But also, at the same time, I talk to people about having treats in their life. Because the other two big illusions are you can't eat chocolate, you can't drink coffee. Both of them have been proven false. Now, there's qualifications. Of course, the cleanest, most organic coffee and chocolate is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But chocolate and coffee have been shown to have an antioxidant effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the coffee, the additional factor is you must drink it within 20 to 30 minutes of brewing it because the oils go bad fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it fresh. And I'm not telling, I say, tell people, I'm not talking about drinking 10 cups of coffee a day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take someone who loves their coffee and they're trying to fight a disease and you say, oh, no, you can't have any more coffee at all ever again, you just threw them into a depression. And that's not going to help their immune system.
Right.
Because we explain to people, too, that we have two nervous systems. The central nervous system is our brain and all the nerves that we move and feel with and sense with. The other nervous system is called the autonomic nervous system, and that has two parts, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. That's the nervous system that runs all the automatic processes, digestion, heartbeat, things like that, and your immune system. And when you are stuck in what we call sympathetic overdrive, that's the classic fight-or-flight reaction, the adrenaline rush. And it was designed to ensure your survival over a very short burst of time, to help you run faster, jump higher, fight harder, do whatever to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when you go into sympathetic overdrive, your subconscious mind, again, which is in control, will suppress any system in your body that does not have immediate survival capability.
Mm-hmm.
And the two big systems that get shut down are the digestion and the immune system. Now, that there's no big deal if that's over 10 minutes, an hour, maybe even a day or two. But if you go day after day, week after week, month after month in sympathetic overdrive, which many people are in today's society, you're talking about suppressing your immune system for months to years. And
right.
Then you're headed for trouble somewhere
mm-hmm.
along the line.
Right.
Because that's your protector. So we talk to people about the need for relaxation, deep breathing, meditation, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start to shift yourself into parasympathetic mode because that's where you heal. You
mm-hmm.
cannot heal in sympathetic overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time talking to people uh-huh. about those kinds of things.
Do you use the Laetril with a variety of types of cancer, or are there
we
just...
We feel our protocols are effective on any kind of cancer, no
oh.
matter where it's located,
because
oh. mm-hmm. it goes after the cancer on a basic rudimentary metabolic level.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's effective at any cancer that's using anaerobic metabolism, which is
oh.
all of them.
Uh-huh. And how long do patients usually stay in Reno?
We usually have them come for 3 weeks initially, and then when they leave and go home, we get standard blood tests once
mm-hmm.
a week,
mm-hmm.
and we speak on the phone once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Patients will speak with one or the other of our doctors. And then they come back for 3 days once a month
mm-hmm.
to be rechecked and to see how they're doing and to receive some more IVs. And then depending on how they're doing, if they're assuming they're doing well and improving all along the line, then they will, after 3 months of that, then we may go to every other month for
mm-hmm.
the remainder of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Brody used to recommend to his cancer patients that they return every 6 months to a year after the cancer's gone
mm-hmm.
to be rechecked again and undergo some immune boosting. He used to call it a tune-up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we continue that attitude as well.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that I haven't mentioned, we are using more and more of, and initially started with a concept called German New Medicine, and you can see more about it on our website, which I'll give you more information
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, we call it the non-physical part of our program, and it's over and above the mental and spiritual things that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do with learning to understand connections between how the subconscious mind interprets different experiences in our life. Because Dr. Brody used to know in a general way about this, and he would ask people about what was a major stress that you had in the last the 2 years prior to your diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those kinds of things, as I just mentioned, can suppress the immune system. But this is far more specific information. And what I'm talking about is specific ways that the subconscious interprets certain conflicts, that is what they're called, and how the subconscious might feel threatened by that conflict, and then develop what we call a disease, but symptoms in a particular organ based on how that conflict was interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
And so an example might be in this understanding that the subconscious mind is very literal, and so it will interpret things in a very literal way. So what this German New Medicine talks about is something like someone developing esophageal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the esophagus is the tube running from the back of your throat down to your stomach. And come to find out that that person, within 2 years prior to their diagnosis, had something happen, say, where they were being prepared to get a promotion at work, and they bring a new person in and they get the new job and you're stuck in your old job.
Mm-hmm.
And that person says, I just really had a hard time swallowing that. And literally, that can turn into an esophageal cancer. Now, obviously, it has to be a pretty severe shock to the system for that to happen. But
mm-hmm.
we have seen this to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes a new patient coming in is like opening a new detective novel.
Mm-hmm.
To not only figure out the physical things going on, but also the mental, emotional, psychological things, all of which led to the development of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say it's so exciting to
right.
be doing
right.
this kind of work, because it's way beyond looking just at the lab test and the biopsy and here, get these IVs and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's way beyond that.
Right. Well, this has been very interesting, and I wondered if you could tell us then about your radio show.
Let me mention, too, our website,
mm-hmm.
renointegrative.com. We also have a new website we're working on, renointegrativemedicalcenter.com. And our phone number here is, we have an 800 number, 800-994-1009.
Mm-hmm.
Or our regular phone number is 775-829-1009.
Mm-hmm.
The radio show I'm doing is called Tales from the Medical Frontier, and it is on spiritquestradio.com. And you just type in spiritquestradio.com, and the home page will come up, and you can see listen now, or you can even go into a different part and chat text-wise. And you can look at the hosts, and there are a number of other, I mean, there's, I think, 30 hosts running different
mm-hmm.
shows.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is the only one about medicine and health, and that is on Tuesday afternoon, 2 to 3 Pacific time. So it starts at 5 p.m. Eastern time,
mm-hmm.
back in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that show to try to get information out there to people to let them know what's available. Because sometimes it's not so easy for them to find out. Even looking up integrative medicine or alternative medicine and Googling it, you end up with a mountain of information,
right.
a lot of which
right.
is not very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I think there's a lot of misconception that alternative medicine consists of chanting, massage, and incense.
Right.
And that's what we run into a lot. We get
right.
called quacks by physicians that don't even know we're licensed physicians. And these intensive therapies that I just described to you
mm-hmm.
obviously are very intensive. And there's been a lot of research background on it, and the results are excellent.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate this very much, Dr. Bob. It's been very interesting.
Oh, good. Thank you very much for asking me.
And thank you. I would like to spend the remaining time tonight talking about my interventions for lung cancer. After diagnosing lung cancer, my physician gave me 6 months to live. That was 33 years ago last month, and I used a holistic, alternative approach. Like many cancer survivors whom I have talked with, it was a great learning experience with a positive outcome that left me a better person than I was before. I would like to share some of that experience with you. In 1976, I had a dream that advised me to go for a chest x-ray. Because I had previously had dreams that guided me with health matters, with solving problems, or with finding things, I was not surprised. Consequently, I knew I should seek out medical follow-up. I believe that dreams are one way that God speaks with me, so I do pay attention. When I contacted my physician and asked for a referral for x-rays, he asked if I had symptoms, and I told him no. But I also insisted on a referral, and he sent me for x-rays. As a conservative, traditional physician, he would not have understood about the guidance offered in dreams. After receiving the x-ray report, my physician called and asked me to come to his office, where he told me they found a spot on my lung. This spot was not there 6 months earlier. He then asked that I go into the hospital for a biopsy. Following the lung biopsy, my physician reported that it was lung cancer and I needed immediate surgery. I told him and the surgeon I was not willing to rush into any decision about surgery, but wanted all of the information available so I could go home, pray, think about it, and make a rational decision. He told me I would be dead in 6 months without surgery, and repeated this several times. I reminded him that the decision about surgery and the responsibility for my life was mine, and his responsibility was to give me the information available to help me make the correct decision. At home, I consulted a variety of people, including family and friends. It is always amazing to me that when you need help making a decision, people appear that fill in all of the pieces, like the old adage that when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. To me, this is another way God speaks with me, through others, and he spoke to me through Ursula, who is in my Search for God group, and who supported me in any way she could, and also offered her assistance. Through her contacts, she obtained a psychic reading from someone in Florida whom she believed to be one of the best in the country. The reading was done at a distance, so I did not need to travel to Florida. She also agreed to pray about, meditate, and watch her dreams for guidance about a course of action for my health concern. My plan to forego surgery and use alternative treatments was based upon two factors. First, the reading from the psychic who independently identified the tumor and advised against surgery but advocated alternative treatments such as Laetril, vitamins, a special diet, stress management, meditation, visualization, and a positive attitude. He said these would resolve the problem. The second factor was an analysis of Ursula and my dreams that also concurred and reinforced using an alternative approach. I contacted a physician in Northern Virginia who examined me, verified the diagnosis of lung cancer, developed a plan for amygdalin or Laetril 2,500 milligram in tablet form at bedtime and one in the morning before noon. I also carried apricot kernels, the substance from which Laetril is made, and ate these periodically during the day. I took a variety of prescribed vitamins, minerals, and pancreatic enzymes daily also. My prescribed diet was low in protein and dairy products, consisting of mainly raw fruit and vegetables, seeds, nuts, and grains, and no coffee, alcohol, tobacco, sugar, or white flour. Supplemental protein was allowed in the form of predigested protein if there was weight loss, and AG protein tablets 3 with each meal was encouraged. Exercise was also prescribed, and because of the lack of debilitation, this was easily accomplished, as well as continuing to work and carry out my daily activities. Another part of the program was detoxification, which included frequent fasting and or enemas to eliminate toxic residue from the breakdown of diseased tissues and for liver stimulation. A minimal program included occasional fasting with only fruit and vegetable juice and the regular use of supplemental tablets such as comfrey pepsin and betaine. In summary, the physical aspects of my cancer treatment included diet, exercise, vitamins, digestive enzymes, Laetril, apricot pits, and occasional detoxing. Although the doctor was vague about other aspects of treatment, I had worked with alternative holistic treatments for years, had read extensively on meditation, visualization, and the influence of prayer, and had worked several years using the Edgar Cayce health readings as a volunteer nurse at the Cayce camp during my summer vacations from teaching in nursing. Thus, I developed the following regime. Each day, I spent 2 15-minute sessions visualizing the cancer cells being reduced by the Laetril and vitamins and disappearing from my body. I also visualized my body as healthy and congratulated myself for being successful. I also meditated 30 minutes each evening before I retired, and at the start of each meditation, I focused on a positive affirmation and then emptied my mind of all thoughts. When thoughts intruded, I again returned to the affirmation and the emptying process. During the day, I used positive affirmations as often as possible. A typical affirmation might be, "I am happy and healthy, and God is with me." At stressful times, I practice stress management techniques. For example, if there was stress in situations encountered during my daily teaching, I retreated to my office and, after quieting my body, visualized a peaceful setting, meditated briefly, or went through progressive relaxation exercises. I also continued my weekly Search for God meetings and meditated daily with this group, who were very supportive and encouraging. One of the most important aspects of my regime was to maintain a positive attitude toward daily life and recovery. If others talked about following the doctor's orders for surgery, or in any way placed a doubt in my mind, I thanked them for their concern and walked away if necessary. I also believe an important aspect of being optimistic and positive is a result of my faith in God. It is easier to be optimistic of a positive outcome of cancer or any illness if you have faith in a higher being who guides you through rough times. Other useful spiritual activities, including being of service to others and developing the attributes of love, patience, and forgiveness. The way to do all of these activities is described in my current book, Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. I also contacted the now-deceased Olga Worrell, a nationally known psychic healer, who put me on her prayer list and prayed for me each day. I was also on several church prayer and healing lists. I did not tell my physician about my therapy because, again, I knew he would not understand or accept it. However, I visited him every 3 months for x-rays and an evaluation of any changes in the tumor. I did not allow him to discuss surgery and reminded him that I was responsible for my life. I continued my treatment and visits to my physician for 2 years, after which the tumor was gone. My local physician said he thought he must have made an incorrect diagnosis, but a physician friend, who is medical director of Blue Cross and Blue Shield in another state, reviewed all of the lab reports, x-rays, and other tests and concluded that it was definitely lung cancer based upon the biopsy, X-ray, and other reports. I thank you for joining us this evening. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good evening.